Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars, where things are already getting rowdy in the green room, so we're getting good and riled up for tonight's broadcast. Hope everybody out there is doing well. This is your man with the plan, or we're gender neutral now. I'm the
oh,
it with
Lord.
The shit. Dave Atwell coming to you.
The second part was right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gotta love it. But hope this broadcast finds everybody well. And as I am, you know, it's funny. All day long, the breeze has been blowing out here. And all day long, I've been like going, man, the show's going to be good tonight because we're going to have a nice breeze blowing. Walk out here, and it's just this stagnant as hell.
And
Mom Nature is probably, trying to stuff it to me again. So while I light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville, I'm going to pass it around to our esteemed panel. I'm also going to hook up my speakers, so in the event that I start sounding like God or something like that, will somebody please let me know, and I will disconnect. And that way we're not having a bunch of audio hijinks.
Yeah, I thought that fired on us last time.
Yeah, it's a different speaker, so we're going to give it a shot, so see what happens. Nevertheless, joining us after a slight absence, our good brother, and Carolina Wrestling Hall of Famer, the amazing Velvet. How are you doing this evening, brother?
I'm doing well. Can't wait to see what happens and see what rabbit hole we fall down or how many we fall down. I'm ready. I'm smart. I tied a rope around my waist this time.
Oh, look at you, Alice.
That's it. Very good. So, fill us in real quick before we get butt deep in the show.
Yeah.
How did your final match go?
The match with Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet versus Soul Patrol, which was Black Angel and Deion Johnson. Let me tell you something. It was the funniest thing I'd ever been involved with, number one. Number two, our chemistry never left. Our comedic chemistry and timing never left. It was like riding a bicycle, got back in the ring, did what we needed to do. When it was over, it was bittersweet because right after our match, at intermission, we signed probably about 50 pictures apiece, if not more. And then I came out with his Hall of Fame trophy, and I gave it to Tommy Feathers, and he legit cried, which was awesome. So he needed that final chapter and that door to be closed because he's got too much to risk to be doing that even at his age. Even though he said he would want to do, you know, he would run it again, I'm like, nah, man, don't run it again. You're good. So, and then he agreed. So, it was good. It was good for all, actually everybody, because Tommy Feathers wrestled Deion Johnson, and we found this out. He let the cat out of the bag. Deion Johnson was still in high school. He was a football player, was still in high school when he wrestled Neon Rage, which was Tommy Feathers' first gimmick. And he was like 17 years old, and that was pretty wild. And then he got to wrestle against him again in his final match. So everything made sense.
It was meant to be.
So it was a good night. Nobody's going to hear this, but my buddy goes, "Hey, you gonna bring your stuff and try to sell it?" I said, "Yeah, let me get some stuff out." And so he walks in, he comes back out, and he goes, "Hey, brother, put that stuff back." I go, why? He goes, hey, put that stuff back. Trust me. When you walk in there, you understand. And I kept saying, man, what? Come on, man. I would walk into the building. He's like, I'm like, come on, man. What are you talking about? We can make a couple bucks. He goes, bro, there ain't 10 people in this building that can rub two nickels together. I said, oh, crap. Are you kidding me? I walked in the door. I walked in the door and went, oh, he wasn't lying. Holy cow. I was like, all righty then. They had a lot of people. They spent their beer money or cigarette money or whatever to get in the door, and they didn't have anything else.
Yeah, everyone in attendance can make up one set of teeth, one of those type crowds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't even know if they could have made one set of teeth. So, it was rough, bro.
They only had
it was rough.
Two last names in the
but
phone book type
fun.
Thing.
I have to admit, the show top to bottom was good, though. It was a really good show. There were some top indie guys and gals on the show, which was surprising. So, you know, hey, you know, you got to take your money where you can get it. And some of these people are figuring that out. They're figuring that out. But I took up everybody's time. Go ahead. Go on with somebody else.
That was a legendary. That is the longest single introduction we've had yet. Well done, Velvet.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to do that, but we're good.
Yeah, very important part of that. I mean, we've all been sitting at the edge of our seats for 2 weeks waiting to find out after your opponent hung up on us.
If Todd hasn't told you, we've had a little bit of problem with Sinister. Sinister bowed up to me at the table at the show. And Sinister is 6'4", 280, big, massive fella, and he wrestled a guy that was probably 180, soaking wet. And he's had some dark matches with AEW. And kid looked like Juventud Guerrero, a young Juventud Guerrero. He's a Mexican kid, and he was high flyer. And he could work, and he high fly. He was doing his high flying stuff. But this is where it got hinking. I said, dude, as big as you are, why did you have to hit the young fella, as small as he was, with a pair of brass knuckles? And then you knocked the referee out. And then you blamed everything on the company, the referees, everything. He blamed everything on everything. I said, whoa. And then it got crazy. I mean, it got out of hand on pro wrestling interviews for 2 weeks in a row, saying that he wanted a match with me and anybody I could get to be my partner. And if I won, he had to, starting immediately, he would have to carry my bags for a year. And if he won, I had to be his manager and make sure that he's making money and he's booked on shows and, you know, all that stuff and take care of his financial stuff. But before we even got to that point, it was just crazy. I mean, crazy talk, man. I mean, he got me mad. You know, I was like, Velvet's never been that mad before, but he was getting in on it. So it's pretty good. We'll see what happens.
Now, just for the record, there is, I think, Velvet took a little bit, did a little bit of editing of his own there. Keep in mind, the other guy brought the brass knuckles out first, and Sinister got them from him.
Right.
Just to be clear.
All right. So, okay. But a guy that size and a kid that's 180 who's 5'8 or 5'7 and you're 6'4, come on, man. And you're 280 pounds. Don't need to use them.
Sinister is a lot of humanity. I think Tommy Feather said it best. Look, a lot of people talk about being afraid to meet someone in a back alley. He was like, Sinister. Tommy Feather said you'd be afraid to meet Sinister in a Walmart.
Yeah, you would. You ain't lying. That is absolutely correct. Shoot, I wouldn't want to pass him at Costco. I'd be like, yeah, you can have my buggy too. You can have my buggy too, man. I'm out of here.
If he's a demo lady and can't give away no pizza rolls, something's up, you know.
She's gone.
And don't let Velvet tell you he was being all nice either. Boy, Velvet had to bring off the fact that he had beat him in a match previously using a Hurricane Rana. Velvet was feeding the beast. Don't let him go all mellow on you here. No, Velvet was stirring the pot.
Here's the thing. So it's not out of control. Yes, I stirred the pot. This cat has been talking crap for 20 years. He can't figure out who he wants to be or what he wants to be. Everybody's fault but his own if he can't win a match. It's always excuses. It's been excuses for 20-plus years. If you got that many excuses, then why are you even in the ring? That's an excuse, too, to me. I mean, come on. I don't get it. So, yeah, I stirred the pot. I'm not going to lie. And I kept saying, I do hold the victory over you. And kept getting madder and madder. I did beat you. And
yeah,
it was
the whole
for
show,
a title.
Velvet was pretty much, Velvet was doing his cool hand loop, shaking the tree, boss, shaking the tree.
That's right. And see what falls out. But it was fun. It was a good couple of shows. I'm still working on if I'm going to be able to do that show or not. I still got that up in the air as of right now. We'll see. And then I got another show that asked me to come, Appalachian Championship Wrestling out of Vail, North Carolina. It's a little west of Charlotte. And they wanted me to come up in 2 weeks. And I went, I have to see about that. Because I'm waiting on this crazy plan, whatever we're going to do with me. So it'd probably be no to both of them. But I'm keeping the window cracked. How's that?
There you go.
I'll tell you what, gotta keep it cracked for that Sinister match because there was
there's a lot of people getting hot about it.
I know. just because that would be a good thing because there was some smack that was talked. If nothing else, you're going to want that window cracked to let it out.
Agreed. Agreed.
There was a fertilizer talk, boy. All right.
Man, it was amazing.
I tell you
all
what,
right,
we're
going
to try to. I think what's great here is Velvet, when he got on into his beginning his intro, said that prepared for whatever rabbit hole we fall under, and I got a rope on, and, made the Alice in Wonderland reference, and that did not take us long to get on that tangent, boy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to jump over there and hit my buddy up here in Indianapolis. Tim, you there?
Yes, sir. Greetings and salutations from Westfield, Indiana, where I'm sure the weather is equal to what you're experiencing, Todd. Nice and rainy, although it's still pretty comfortable outside. And on this fine mid-October day, I finally closed the pool.
Look at you.
Looking forward. Yep. So looking forward to a good show. I'll kick it off to the next one.
Good to have you aboard this evening, without a doubt. And, of course, Todd, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing outstanding to supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here, and I actually am enjoying what I think is pretty pleasant for up here in October, late at night. It's still a little bit, a couple degrees warmer here at 9:15 p.m. 2 degrees warmer than the average high, so I will take it. I am not ready for winter. I am not. But other than that, I am ready.
Yeah.
I am ready for a show. Something Diamond Dave threw out last week at the end of the show. He had an idea. I actually dropped a note in the chat and remembered to go back and read. Yes, people, I did read once, just once, mind you. But did read, and
yeah.
We're going to do that. And Diamond Dave, it was your idea. You want to run with it, brother?
Well, you know, we had such a good show last week, and it was a very sincere show. We had some laughs and everything, and it was one of those shows you walked away from and just kind of got that good, warm, fuzzy feeling because, you know, there was several
that
moments of reflection in there. Yeah, well, it depends on, you know, what kind of fuzzy you're in the market for, of course. Different grades of fuzzy these days, trust me.
Warm and fuzzy is usually what my Depends are like.
You want warm? You want warm and fuzzy?
Okay. The warm and fuzzies now are only in the nose and ear section. It's no longer growing anywhere else. But so last week we came across the idea after me letting go of an experience in the grocery store about how a lady had cut me off and was so avoid of her surroundings that she had no idea that she had pissed all over my leg. But nevertheless, I was a good sport about it. Just rolled my eyes and continued on. So, figure tonight, we would do a show on
man. I almost want to do. I almost want to do a tangent with that.
But pissing on my leg
because it. Dave's thing started with rudeness in line, right? At a store and the people trying to do the spacing and all that. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The guy actually used some different phrasing, and he wasn't trying to be rude or smart or anything. And he said it, and I realized, you know, that was something he made a point of perspective. Depending upon where you're at or how you look at things, that line, where is the beginning and where is it end? Because is the end the last person in line, the one that's going to last be served? The beginning, because you get in, you're just beginning to wait.
Well, it was painfully obvious with me standing there with one goddamn item in my hand that perhaps I wasn't standing there fanning my balls. I was trying to get rang up. And, of course, the lady with 175 different items.
In her case, that was the middle of the line, but that's beside the point.
And her time was more valuable than mine. I was a good sport about it, and I let it go. So, you know, during the week, you know, Todd had a good point in chat that, you know, we can almost do a whole show just on traffic, what people do out on the roads that drives the ape shit. So we'll see how far we go. But what I would like to do, and then you think about the general things that go on. You know, you pull up, you go pull up in a parking spot, and there's a shopping cart there, and there's a damn cart corral, you know, 10 feet away, and you're going, man, who does this shit? You know, it's aggravating. So it's that kind of stuff we're going to discuss. So today, as a matter of fact, I had to make a trip to one of the worst places on the planet. Starts with a W, ends with a T.
Oh,
and,
come on now.
And I had to go in there. And so I'm going to light this fire as I'm walking down the aisle, okay, one of the perimeter aisles. And for those that are listening, when we use the term perimeter aisle, if you think of a grocery store, you've got the back aisle, the front aisle by the registers, the big aisle on both ends. Those are what you call perimeter aisles. Now, like your aisle fives and six and seven, those aren't perimeter aisles. It's the outside track, if you will, of any type of store. So like a Walmart would have several perimeter aisles. They've got one around grocery, then they got one around the hard lines, that kind of stuff. So nevertheless, I am walking down the back perimeter aisle across electronics and shoes, heading towards grocery, and there are three people walking side by side, and I actually had to take my shopping cart and tuck the damn thing into an adjacent aisle so these three assholes could continue to walk abreast down the aisle.
Shit. You better not come walking. You better not come to Walmart with me, buddy.
Let me tell you something. And I don't know how many times I've seen, you know, a couple walking hand in hand. Oh, it ain't a dang romantic. They're holding hands. Hey, single file that shit and let somebody else get by. Okay? I understand that it ain't your fault or my fault that Walmart puts a damn pallet display in every square inch of their store. But we got to work together on this. So you know what? Tighten it up and let a brother go in the other direction. You know? So that's where I'm going to start. When you're in a store and you see somebody coming the other way, single file that stuff for two steps and let them by. And then you can go back to walking shoulder to shoulder. But have a little damn bit of class, if you don't mind.
Bro, you're asking way too much.
There I start.
That's just one of the store things. But here's my other one. You've got, you might have a cross aisle, especially like in a grocery store, let's say from facing from the registers, the majority of your aisles would be vertical at that point. But there's right smack dab through the center of all those vertical aisles. A lot of time there's one horizontal aisle. Why does somebody got to get into a spot where they can block off effectively four different directions? Plop the ass where they're there. They got the cart there, and that's when they decide to try to read the signs. They could pull over to one end on one side of any one of those darn vertical aisles and sit there and look and scan all the signs from there. No, they got to sit there and they got to cross the thing and then try to read one aisle at a time.
Yes.
Good
yes.
Lord.
Because they're the only person in the building. There's nobody else in there trying to do exactly what they're trying to do. So they don't count. It's right on up there with the people who parked the damn cart on the left side of the aisle and shop on the right side of it. So it forces you to walk up and say, excuse me, pardon me, or can I get by, ma'am? I'm sorry to be impolite. So that gives them the opportunity to roll their eyes and act like you're a burden on humanity just because you're trying to goddamn buy a pack of bologna for dinner. But
I'm the point where my vision, and I always feel bad because I feel like no matter which side I pull, I have to look at and I want to try to read something. Let's say I'm trying to scan all the soup cans to try that one particular flavor, and I swear they do like a roulette wheel rotation just to mess with my little brain housing group, and they do it successfully if that's the case. So if I pull over on the other side briefly to be able to look across and read everything and scan everything, sure, now somebody wants something right where I blocked off. But I'm aware of that, so I'll move and I'll adjust, and I'll try to figure it out from a different angle so somebody that actually knows what the hell they want, what they're trying to get, can go do it. But a lot of times they end up over there trying to be like me, trying to go ahead and read. I just happen to be standing in the way of what they're reading. But at least I noticed them and moved the hell out of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to
say one thing.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, go ahead, Billet.
My thing is you're giving these people way too much credit. They walk in Walmart and push their buggies the way they drive their cars. So you should have figured that out by now after you've done bitched about all that. Look here. That's how they drive their car. When you follow them back out and you pull out back onto the highway, they're going to get next to the car next to them so you can't get around them, and they're going to block up both sides of the street because they don't care.
Yeah.
Or
I gotta
my favorite one, Go ahead, Tim.
I got to figure out the issue with the echo on this phone. I wish I could. It makes it awkward because I start talking, but you all don't hear it for like 20 seconds. Now, I was going to piggyback off what Todd said, and it's kind of like I have my own strategy too. So it's kind of like when people don't, I don't know, maybe I'm a little too critical, but it's almost kind of like, come on, can you, I want to set an example and let people follow it, but it just doesn't work. I, for one, I like to choose the smaller cart. At the Kroger that I go to, you have your big fat-ass cart that we all hate that gets in the way of everything, and that's it. You're the one driving it, or if you're trying to avoid somebody driving it, it's a big, obnoxious cart. So I go for the condensed version.
And they come with the obligatory wobbly wheel.
Yes.
Right? And I never take them in the aisles with me. I always leave them in our Kroger on the back side. There's I'm not really going to be sure how to explain it, but it's kind of a wider spot, and you have a lot of these center compartments like your freezers, the refrigerated items, those little stands where they're trying to,
aisle.
You know. Yeah, so I take and
Dave,
I park my cart.
Perimeter aisle with Tim again?
Yes, perimeter aisles. The outside.
Yeah, but the Walmart's laid out different than a Kroger. That's why. I understand what he's talking about, but the Kroger's kind of laid out slightly different.
Yeah.
But anyway, you got like these little, you got the little stands that have the garbage on them that nobody buys, and that's why they try to stick it out to get people to buy it. Nobody goes for that shit, so I always park my cart right there. And then I go and I get like the few items that I need down the adjacent aisle and then move on. And I still have to traverse through all the morons, but if I don't have the cart, I can do it easier. So, yeah, I wish more people did that kind of a style. But unfortunately, yep, I share that pet peeve with you, Dave. I'm right there with you, and that sucks.
Well, I'm going to drop this in there with you, Tim, because the other ones that want to leave it in that aisle, leave it smack dab in the center of the walking space instead of in the little pods, for lack of better description. They will leave it right smack dab in that aisle, and they will just go walking all over the place. And, you know, the other day I was doing a walkthrough and just grabbing what I had. I saw one of those carts there. I grabbed the cart, walked down another aisle, and just left it wedged up against the side. Figured, let this person decide how long it takes for them to go find it.
Yeah, that's
when I came back up the aisle, I saw the guy looking for his cart. He couldn't figure it out.
That's awesome.
About a month ago, I went and got me a cart, right? And like you were speaking on earlier with the wheels, of course, out of the 7 or 8 million carts that were available that day, I grabbed the one that had, like, you remember the train on the Land of Misfit Toys on Rudolph where it had the square wheels? that was the cart, right? I ain't sneaking up on any deaf people in that building because that cart, you know, ka-clank, ka-clank, ka-clank. Well, I went over to produce, I got me a lettuce and a thing of tomatoes, right? So I did exactly. Got some eggs. And Walmart, there's never any teeth involved, so that helps. But I did the old gummer. I parked my cart at a nondescript spot, and then I walked. Because I saw the congestion, so I walked over to produce and got the items I needed. So when I got back over, my cart was gone. I said, well, son,
damn it, Todd.
And there, sitting up on a table, stranded, is my lettuce and my tomatoes. And I said, I will be damned if somebody didn't snipe my cart.
Oh,
so anyhow, I went. Fetch me another cart. So bearing in mind, and I was pretty pissed about it because, you know, I in my old age, I'm starting to be a little more judgmental when it comes down to it, where I look at people and go, you know what? You're the reason why this happens. You're the reason why society's going to shit. You know, and I got a bad habit of doing that. But nevertheless,
I do
said,
too
you
every
know
time
what?
I go out.
Yeah, you look at the way people handle their children or the way they, you know, just carry themselves, and you're like, you know what, tighten your ass up. So I thought to myself,
stay at home.
It's not going to be hard to find whoever GTA'd myself. So I start cruising around, and what do I hear? Clank, 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 clank. So as I turn the corner to follow the clankings, and what do I see? I see this. You remember LaFonda on Napoleon Dynamite? Okay. If you could imagine her at probably 6'2", dressing out around 275, that was her, right? And I walked right behind her, and I says, wow, sounds like you got a rough cart there. And she says, yeah, this thing making all kinds of noise. And I said, yeah, maybe had you not pulled the lettuce and tomatoes out of it and stole it, or I didn't say stole it. I says, maybe had you not pulled the lettuce and tomatoes out of it and walked off with the damn thing, you might have gotten a decent cart. And she just kind of looked at me like, how does this guy have a crystal ball or what? So I pointed down at my cart, and I says, enjoy the ride. And I walked off.
Yes, sir.
I said, there you go.
Nice.
Your pipe and smoke it. I mean, but what a pissy thing to do to somebody just because you're too damn lazy to go back and get a cart. You're going to grand theft cart my stuff, you know. And then let's just say I'm, you know, we've all seen Mr. Brooks, where you piss him off in traffic, he runs your plate and kills you that night in your sleep. You know, why would you do something like that?
That's why one of my rules is when I go into the store, I have my hands on my cart until I grab the first item. Because I know, like you said, she flat out took the stuff out, which is just a dick move right there. But just so that I don't leave my cart unattended until it has something in it, because you know it's going to get ganked then. I have my hands on that son of a bitch until I have the first item in the cart.
All I can think of is people becoming desensitized by video games. They play Grand Theft Auto one too many times.
I got the damn cart.
Well,
I
tell you what you do from now on. Okay. Time when that happens, you got to get a new cart, whatever. You got to play the game that me and my daughter play. Okay. You find the most obscure crap in the store, and when they're not looking, you put it in their basket.
Oh, there you go.
When they go to check out, I didn't put this in there. I'll wait till they finish shopping and get in line right behind them just to see it. It's funny.
Speaking to a fellow gentleman from the grocery business, I don't know when you were in the management side. We used to go on a sales per man hour.
Wait, you just used gentleman with velvet?
Right. Yeah.
The sales per man hour is a joke.
It's a joke.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
But the way to beat it was to bump up your item count. So what it used to be the habit on Saturday evening when the books were getting closed for the week, you would walk around with two trays of Kool-Aid in your cart or whatever you had with you. And if you saw somebody chopping with kids or something to that effect, you'd fling five or six packs of Kool-Aid in their cart because it didn't make any noise going into the cart. And when they get up, they're going to do one of two things, going, ah, shit, it's Kool-Aid, just go ahead and leave it on there. Or they're going to blame their kids, beat their kids' ass. Either way, I'm making payroll.
Either way, it's a show. Either way, it's going to be fun.
Either way, I'm making payroll, man.
Damn right. I got one for
you,
Dave, though. Listen to this.
For humanity.
I'll give you one. Now, we used to be open 24 hours a day, and we had six bars within probably two across the street, one about four blocks away, one about a mile or two away, but we had them all right there. They're in the vicinity, okay? So they'd all come over at 4 a.m., you know, want to get more beer. Be like, nah. Come in the store screaming, yelling. Six guys got on the wheelchair, and the seventh guy was pushing the wheelchair. And I'm like, nah, dude. Yeah, this ain't playtime. So then they get the pizzas out, and they start playing Frisbee with the Tombstone pizzas.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Okay. I'm like, all right. I call the crew up front. I got one on the phone calling the police. They're jabber-jawing. They want to go outside and fight, right? So they're looking at my buddy Greg, the only two really talking, okay? Greg's out of control. He'll say anything to anybody. He doesn't care. So he's like, come on, we'll go. He goes, come on, we'll go, thinking that it was only going to be me and him walking out the door, the whole crew falling right behind us, right? And they were like, yeah, and they just started talking more. So when they seen the cops coming, they went to run to the car. They were like, no, don't go nowhere. And the guy got real quiet, right? I went, and all of a sudden, before I could do it, my friend Greg goes, yeah, that's the guy. That's Big Mouth right there. Oh, what's the matter? Cat got your tongue? What's the matter? You zipped your lip? I mean, he was being clean about it, though. He wasn't being nasty. He goes, what's the matter? Got a cotton ball caught in your throat? You can't speak now? Come on. Tell them how you going to kick our gay country asses. I'm like, oh, shit. So the cop's like, settle down. Settle down. He goes, no, man. He goes, I was called a redneck, son of a bitch, all this other stuff. And he goes, what is it? He goes, which one am I?
Great.
You gotta define these things.
But then we would get that in between before everybody came to work, that 45 minutes before 5 o'clock, right? So around 4:15 after all that headache goes away, it ends about 4:25, 4:30. So anyway, everybody comes in at 5. We get all the strippers after that. No joke. This chick walked in, and they called me up front. The cashier said, yeah, you need to come up here. So I come up. Girl's wearing shorts, and she had her back to me. And I wasn't paying attention. I walked up there. She had cellophane. She had saran wrap on her. And that was it. On her chest. I went, all righty then. I said, yeah, you can't do that. She goes, I was on my last dance. This was a joke we were doing. Well, and I just want to go home. And we know the girl. I said, listen, go get your stuff. Hurry, get out here, because you know everybody's in here going to follow you around. So hurry up, go get your stuff. It wasn't even 10 minutes later. These two drunk girls came in. And they're yelling, it's my birthday. So, and we were done at that point, and we're just walking around the store, and my buddy Greg goes, whose birthday is it? And the girl goes, it's my birthday. He goes, well, it's his birthday, too. She goes, it's his birthday. And she fucking yanks her shirt off.
Nice.
Right there in the store. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to double check this, Velvet. The show is Pet Peeves.
Yes.
So the one chick had cellophane wrapped around a rack, and the other one showed you hers. So how is this a pet peeve? Oh, wait, it's you, Velvet.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm strictly dickly, baby. No, the pet peeve is always, I'm at work. No, I'm at work. Why can't this happen
right.
When I go to the club? When I go to the club, I never saw this, but I get to see it at work. I'm like, come on,
yeah.
Man.
Got the same luck.
I've been to your club, girl. I've been to your club, girl. It's boring as shit. You come to the store. Shit is happening.
It doesn't have anything to do
charge.
With anything going on. But for some reason, I can't get the scene out of my head. And from Office Space, where he says, what would you do with $1 million?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what I do. Two chicks at the same time.
That's right.
I can't think you fools anywhere. The, something Diamond Dave touched on, oh, man,
okay.
Was it, actually, Velvet, a thing you brought up, too, the kids screaming and all that. So this is a true story. There is always that parent walking around with that child that is just screaming their head off, and there's 50 of those. You got ones that they keep threatening and yelling that they're going to do something to the kid, and the kid already knows that the parent ain't going to do nothing other than yell and make noise. The parents sitting there and wearing the screaming child as a badge of honor. And I think you were our fresh manager at the time I did this one. Said, man, I'm too old for this. And the woman goes, well, you must not like kids. Said, I like most kids. And I think it went right past her. I think it went right on past her. Yeah. Either that or you must really hate kids, not all kids. It just, these parents, yeah. Yeah. The whole, oh, man. I heard Kyle used to, when she was going through that stage, since his most recent one, easiest to remember. I was like, kind of, okay. I said, you want to yell and scream? I'm going to call everybody over to come look at you acting like this. Boy, she shut the hell up. She knew what she was doing.
That's right.
I can't stand it when they allow kids to shove carts. Okay, and while we're on the topic of kids and grocery stores, I can kind of go ahead and compartmentalize two things. Number one, when the store is, 9 o'clock in the morning on off payday Tuesday and you want to have your youngin' shove the cart, all right. But payday Saturday afternoons, no. Walmarts, no. Don't have the youngin' shopping the cart or shoving the cart. Second off, is whoever invented these limo carts, like with the little drag racer cart and all that kind of stuff, those people need to be pulled outside, flayed publicly.
Oh,
they finally got rid of them up here in our neck of the woods.
Not just them,
and I'll tell
but
you
the
what.
Company that bought it and thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, on the flip side of that coin, it's not any good to anybody, because obviously the people without kids can't stand those things. But the people that also can't stand them, there are those unfortunate like me that would every once in a while have to take the kids because maybe the spouse is out of town or whatever. And what do those damn kids – it's like they've got a sonar radar or something. Yeah, I get it. Sonar sound, so that's a bad example, whatever. But they have some kind of an extra sense. They can tell it's there before they even get through the door. And they immediately run to it and say, Dad, this one. And they climb into like the race car part of it or whatever, that little – part in the front of it, and it's like, fuck, what do? Do I just go with this, or do I create a scene here and pull my kids out of the cart and demand they get into a new one and then proceed to listen to them scream and whine the entire the trip there? So it's from both sides. Those things are just evil, and they finally did away with them up here in Westfield.
Tim, that one's all on you. I'd be with, like, who you calling Dad? Just keep going up.
I like that.
But y'all got to remember, I'm the same one that my kids, when the doggone ice cream truck would come through the city, that I told them, yeah, don't worry about it. They only play music when they're out of product.
Yep. My wife's best friend is the same thing.
Make you run 6 blocks.
Yes. Now, I'll throw another one out there, and this can apply to just about anywhere you go, whether it's at work or the store or wherever. You ever kind of just, like, come up on somebody at the same time, and you stop and go, hey, you go right on ahead. And they go, okay, thank you. And then they stop.
Yeah, right there.
Okay, if your fat ass is going to stop, let me go on the hell by. You know, it's right on up there with the good old days where if you were on the left side of somebody walking and you needed to go to the right, you would ease off a step, let the person to the right continue walking, and then when they pass, cut to the right. Nowadays, what you have to do is you pick up your pace, hang a hard right, and then that way the person there has to, like, check up. And it's so much easier for both parties just for the person trying to get across to yield to the oncoming traffic. And
that is exactly what the people do in driving. That Velvet was
spot on. That's what I said earlier. Yep.
Do the same thing driving. Let me, instead of getting behind you because there's a gap or I could have got behind a dozen vehicles, I've got to get in front of this vehicle, lock on the brakes, and turn right and forget my turn signal, my directional, my turn indicator, whatever you want to call it, through the whole process as well.
Yes.
And you people that do this stuff are why I have a freaking dash cam.
Yeah. Boy, you're right. Because when they put
we need a dash cam on the Walmart buggy.
Yeah. But it is. It is
my God.
It's just so uncouth. Especially, I mean, when you're doing it in traffic, it's kind of one thing. But when you're standing there, and that's the nifty thing about traffic, is that people do what they want to do in traffic because they know you can't reach out and strangle the shit out of them. Whereas when they're doing it and you're within arm's reach, that takes either one of two things. It takes either ignorance or balls. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it is. And for those of us who have worked in retail before, you're pulling a pallet. And, Todd, I know you've been there before. And, Velvet, I'm sure you've been there in the same way. You're pulling a pallet of something. All right? And they walk right in front of you.
Yeah, and you got momentum, and you want to keep going. Whoa. And they go,
And if
I hate that.
Here's a handful of things that'll go all variations of the same thing. They see somebody trying to clean up a broken bottle, and they want to walk right through it.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
They want to walk right smack dab through it. They see a pallet with, no joke, it probably does have close, it's got a half a ton of stuff on it, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And they think they can step in front of it, and it's going to stop. And if somebody were to just brush them while trying to stop, they would make an issue of it, never mind that they were the dumbass.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or even better, they would damn sure do that in front of forklifts and not understand.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't even get me started on forklifts.
I want to go back to what Dave was saying. What's that?
Go ahead. You got it, Bill.
I just want to go back to what Dave made a point about people driving and the way they were, the way they do their stuff driving. Let me tell you something. It's been raining like cats and dogs here. They don't want me on the highway. I don't have the greatest grip on my little truck's tires. Number one, number two, it's rear wheel drive and it's a stick shift. It will get squirrely, and I can make it get squirrely. I've done it before. I had a guy come up trying to get around me. I'm in the correct lane. I'm out of the way. I'm in the slow lane. He gets in the slow lane. throwing his horn in his hands and his lights. He's flashing me with his lights. I'm like, dude, go around. Plenty of time to go around. So he decides he's not going to go around me. So I get over in the fast lane. I take off. We hit this curve, and I know on this curve there's going to be some water on it. So obviously I splashed water on him, so he couldn't see because he was playing catch-up at that point. So he's right in my right corner panel. So it's spraying water everywhere. I get a little swirly as he as he looks. I'm kind of half sideways in the lane, both of them, and I'm looking dead at him. You should have seen his eyes at that point. He's like, holy crap! I said, and so we get down to where we were to a stoplight or something. Anyway, and he rolls his window down. And he goes, what was that? I said, that was for you. He goes, what do you mean that was for me? I said, dude, I got bald tires. It's raining. I was in the slow lane. You ran up plenty of time to get in the fast lane and go around me. You're screaming. You're tooting your horn. You're flashing your lights. Next time, guess what happens if you hit me? I'm getting a new car. And he looked at me.
And
went, I was like, have a nice day. And I just went on about my way. And he was like, he just sat there like, what the hell? Yeah, come on.
Yep.
I will poop myself and everything. Go ahead, Tim.
Sorry. Hey, I got not terribly similar, but along the lines of the horns, because that's definitely a pet peeve of mine is when people honk the damn horn at me. Now, if you have a reason, I'm going to own it. But the impatient people or the true assholes that honk at me, you better fucking watch out. Oops, sorry. I shouldn't drop an F-bomb on our podcast. My bad.
Yeah, you're fine. Ain't it's nobody just... watching. Listen, go. Do whatever you got to do, dog.
Right.
That's how passionate I am about it. But not the 2020 go-around, so I guess it would have been 2019. It was before all this COVID crap happened. But I was out shopping around doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, and I believe it was Christmas Eve. And I happened to be – it was a rather nice day. I was in a pretty good mood, and I was in – Todd, you probably don't know this area. It's referred to as Clay Terrace. That's what it's called. But it's a lot of those shops that are kind of like outside and you have to drive through almost like a little bit like a neighborhood to get to it, filled with roundabouts and all this crap. So I approached one of the roundabouts and there is a car coming from the opposite direction. So I wasn't quite sure yet what he was going to do. So I slowed up as you're supposed to do because they were approaching from kind of in front of me coming toward me. So they entered the roundabout before me and I have to wait and be sure before I can get in the roundabout myself. So I slow up. Sure enough, he starts to go straight and I'm going to accelerate. And before I do, the asshole behind me honks his horn at me. So I stop. I look behind me. I raise my hand up out the window like, what problem, asshole? And I go around the roundabout. And the way this area is laid out, because he was behind me and he took a left turn. Well, I knew the way this area was laid out, I could go up road, take a left, take another left, and I'd eventually see him, if he was there. I had a pretty good chance of seeing him anyway. So that's what I do, and I'm not kidding. I mean, at this point, I'm like shaking. I'm so pissed off because this moron doesn't understand how a roundabout works and expects me to go flying through it. So sure enough, I see the guy, and he's starting to pass me, and we're in a parking lot at this point. And so we're both kind of going slow. And he was, seemed to be a reasonably, I don't want to throw out any terms here, but, he was a typical fine, decent man, not anybody I'd be scared of or, scared to encounter in a dark alley. But we slow up, I roll my window down, and he sees that I'm rolling my window down, so he kind of slows up and he's looking at me. And I looked at him and I said, do you have any idea how a roundabout works? And he goes, yeah, you're supposed to yield and then go in when it's your turn. And I said, exactly. There was a car coming from the opposite direction. And he goes, he was going to go straight. And I said, you don't have any idea what he was going to do. And I said, you're a fucking moron. And then I took off and he just kind of looked at me like he couldn't believe I called him out and then went about his way. Now, did I feel kind of bad since it was Christmas Eve? A little bit, but I got over it. And,
No.
He had to be called out.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes it takes something like that to get people, and I'm real good. I'll do one of two things. Well, actually, when they do this, I'll give them one look, and then another peeve I'll address later, I give them the other look. Here in Jacksonville, and I don't know, it seems like, you know, when I drive in other places, when I go, you know, to D.C., things are wide open. When I've driven to Atlanta, things are wide open, but there's a flow to it. You throw your blinker, somebody lets you in, you know, and people use etiquette, despite the fact that it's 100 miles an hour. You go to Myrtle Beach, everything's 25 miles an hour, but there's a flow to it. Everything's just flowing. Here in Jacksonville, everybody's OFP. And that's own effing program for those of y'all that don't know.
Yep.
So here in Jacksonville, they've invented, and Todd will tell you, as many times as I was running the club and got called up there to the tire shop, people swearing up and down that they're not getting the correct mileage on their tires, here's why. Is because folks in Jacksonville, Onslow County proper, they don't make left turns. They make left cuts, okay? So imagine you are at the stop sign, right? And there's that little painted white line that goes along with the stop sign. If you don't stop 4 to 6 feet behind that thing, you risk the chance of getting clipped because people don't go out and turn left. Now they do like this, almost like this Fred Dreyer drift kind of thing, and I call it a left cut. So what happens is when you're at the ass end of that left cut, your tires are still turned, and it's rubbing the damn tread on your tires, where if you just went out, extended your tires to a 45-degree cut, and then you go and make the turn, when you execute your turn, your tires are in a straight line. Therefore, the tread on your tires maintained. But when you do this left cut stuff and you drive two-thirds of the way into the oncoming lane, your tires are still cocked to the side when you execute that turn. And whenever people do that, I just give them that Kermit the Frog look, and I just stare at them as they go on by. Like, oh, please,
yeah.
Take my life.
Okay, I got a variation on this one, Dave, because you think about this. Everybody that legally has a license all had the same little books that showed you how to execute that task. And that task had these little dashed lines on how to do that. It has gotten to the point that people don't do it, that they've had to paint the lines on the friggin' street for people to know what their friggin' lane is to execute the task, and they still can't do it. I suspect what we really need to do for somebody for a driver's license is give them one of those activity books that you used to be able to get at an IHOP or wherever when you were like 4 years old, and if they can't execute that task, then they don't need a driver's license.
They'll do the practical shit like a left cut. You know, it's aggravating as hell. The other one that I give them the look for, this one, it always requires a stoplight. But when I'm driving and I get behind somebody doing 10 miles under the speed limit, right? And so what do? I change lanes. I go by them. And I get back in the lane that I desire to drive in, which is usually the right lane because that's where you're supposed to be unless you're passing. Nevertheless, I go probably about another mile down the road, and what do I see coming up my rearview mirror like a bat out of hell? The same person that was doing 10 miles under the speed limit is now doing 15 over the speed limit and zooms by me. And
oh,
then,
Dave, that's because that person has, I think they only use cruise control. They set it once and they leave it. So if they're in a 55 zone, they're doing 45. If they're in a 45 zone, they're spot on. But if they're in a 35 zone, they're 10 over.
But what happens is,
oh,
they will slow down once they get by me. About a half mile down the road, what am I doing? I'm passing them again. So when I do that, when I pass them for the second time, I kind of judge my speed. And I tuck my upper lip down inside behind my damn lower jaw, and I puff my cheeks out and give them the best Carl Slingblade look, and I just hold it.
I like, you know.
You got them air fried
like
potatoes.
I like them air fried potatoes.
I don't like the way you drive and all.
I don't like to drive that Porsche. Hey, you know,
I just know Velvet's going to make something about potted meat.
No, it'd be like, you want some potted meat? Hey, come on over here. listen. It's my turn to play center this time, okay? I'm tired of being the quarterback. Somebody's going to feel up on me now. Anyway. I can't remember if I told y'all this about having a Porsche 944.
I don't know if you told me directly in one of our calls.
Yeah, it was probably you. All right, well, let me do this quickly. Okay, so I had gone to a show, and I had a Candy Apple Red 83 non-turbo 5-speed Porsche 944. I was coming home from, I guess, Charlotte or something. I don't know. Buddy of mine called me and goes, hey, man, it's my birthday. I'm down at the Windjammer on the Isle of Palm. I said, dude, I won't go home. I don't want to drive another 30, 40 minutes to go see you. Sorry. And he's like, oh, man, come on, man. Girls are hot, man, and all that, blah, blah, blah. So I get there. I get a beer, and I just sit down. I just chill, you know. The place was real dark. Couldn't see shit. So, you know, Porsche keys have, you push the back end of the key, it has a light on it, right? Just so you can see, so you don't scratch your car up when you go to put the key in. So I'm playing with the light, and I'm checking these chicks out for real to see what they really look like, because I didn't want to get surprised, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want something to walk up to me, and I scream and run. So this blonde chick walks up and goes, only BMWs and Mercedes and Porsches have those kind of car keys. And the way you're dressed, I don't think you got either one of them. Did you steal a car? I went, excuse me? I said, all right. And so my buddy Tim comes over and he goes, what's going on? I said, this chick don't believe I have a Porsche. And Tim is 6'5", 6'6", 300 pounds. He turns over that chick and goes, yeah, he's got a Porsche. She goes, all this stuff. And then this went on for 30 minutes. Finally, I said, screw it. I said, look, I'm parked about a block up the road. I got to go around and come back to get in front of this place.
Screw it. Were you talking the chick or the car?
Ah, no. You're funny. So,
didn't we already clear this up earlier?
Yeah, we already cleared this up earlier. Listen, honey, I told you it was strictly dickly, so stop. That's why I like stick shift cars, not automatic. Golly. Anyway, y'all are making this story longer than it needs to be. So anyway, we go outside. I got a cigarette and I get a beer and I give the I give the beer and the cigarette to my buddy, and I walk up the street, and I fire the car up, and I come around the block, and I went, whoa, and I just freaking did a 360 right in front of the club. And I get out and leave it running. I said, can I have my beer and my cigarette? And my buddy's in shock that I actually did that in front of the club. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I've had one beer. What are they going to do? So the girl goes, oh, I want to go for a ride. I'm like, I'm headed to West Ashley. If you're not going that way, tough shit. So, you know, we still had the old bridge. We still had the old bridges back then. So we had the really old rickety-ass bridge in Charleston going from Mount Pleasant. So
she gets in.
Yeah. She gets in. About three others pile in the back. And I can't lie. I was probably doing about 140 coming out of Mount Pleasant. And we jumped the first span. And I went, oh, shit. One of two things is going to happen. We're going to be out of control. This is the end of all of us. Or I'm going to have to just break this bitch down. Well, I came. We hit. We bounced twice. I didn't hurt anything. Girls are screaming. I'm like, shut up. And I downshifted, come around that big bend in the bridge, that big bend, that break. And I said, oh, I got to hit it. Otherwise, I'm going to hit the railing. So I downshifted the third, punched it so we'd even up. And as I did that, I came over to my side a little too much. And you know how the mirrors stick out in Porsche. They stick out pretty big. Clipped my mirror, took it off, and I locked the car down. All you see was smoke. I just, and my buddy's tailing me.
Wait a second. How'd that go?
Your sound effect.
Anyway, I get out of the car and I'm on the incline, and I know my buddy's behind me somewhere, but he's way behind me, right? So I come walking up. I'm fearing other cars, and I really don't care. So I go and I pick up my mirror, and I'm cussing, and I open the trunk, stow it in the trunk, slam the thing down, and I take off. And at the bottom of the bridge is downtown Charleston in the hood. I get to the bottom of the bridge and say, get out. They're like, what? I say, get out of my car. I was hot. I was mad. They get out. And I texted my buddy, but he didn't read the text in time. He goes, hey, man, did you leave them four white girls down at the bottom of the bridge? I sure did. Those are yours. I don't want that shit. They're all I'm done. You know, and that's a pet peeve. You know, it's like if you can't have anything nice. I didn't dress. I came from a wrestling show. I had a pair of jean shorts on and a T-shirt. What do you expect me dressing? You needed me to come in an Armani suit to a damn beach club? Kiss my ass. Good Lord. Jeez. You know? I barely got all my makeup off to make it there, okay? Damn.
You know,
it's a good thing the
light
is low.
Truth, Velvet, I'm proud of you for wearing less makeup than the girls in that particular situation.
Earlier it was not.
So
go
I'm
ahead,
gonna combine
Tim,
the two. Yeah, I had a pet peeve I just thought of when we were talking, and I spaced it. I've been trying to rack my brain to think of it. But in the meantime, I found a way to pair the two. So we've been talking about grocery stores, and we've been talking about vehicles. And I have something that lines up with both of those categories. So it's a couple things. For starters, there's a rather, we'll say, ritzy neighborhood to the south of the Kroger that I happen to go to. And I also pass it on my way into Westfield proper. What I can't stand seeing is all of the frickin' privileged little brats driving golf carts to Kroger on the road, and they'll park in parking spots.
I can't stand it.
And then the other
you're
one is
lying.
The people that, are so damn lazy that, and you know, the Kroger is basically, you guys know how the grocery stores are located. They're in the strip mall, mm-hmm. so they're in the same building that have, you know, like 10 different whatever stores off to the side. So what the a-holes do, they're so damn lazy that if they're going to go to the UPS store or they're going to go pick up their pizza at Papa John's, instead of going and finding a parking spot like the rest of us that go in and shop, they have to pull up on the curb and put their flashers on and get their lazy fat ass out of the car to go get their business. And it causes everyone else to have to stop and, you know, take their turn to go around so they don't hit oncoming traffic. And it's just, I always usually roll down my window and I'll say something. And even if they're not paying attention to me and there's nobody else in my car, I'll make it sound like I'm talking to someone. And I'll say, yeah, there's another one that can't park, and then take off. I don't know. I get my kicks off doing that, but man, is that a pet peeve.
I'm going to come visit Tim, I'm going to come visit you. And when those fat bastards leave their cart unattended with lights flashing, just let me out, and I'm going to drive off in that bitch. And then they'll be like, what the happened? It's not supposed to be there, sir. That's not a parking space.
Blinders keepers.
I like it.
Yeah. Now, see,
what we'll do is park on the furthest part.
If it's a Porsche jackpot.
Right?
Because Tim
we're just parking in
the hell out of
park.
The next piece.
Yes.
And Tim doesn't even realize that he segued perfect when he said lazy fat ass. I am going to throw this one out there, and this might get me a couple little hate. But these damned electric parts, okay? Now, every benefit has been abused in this country. When it comes down to service dogs,
yeah.
okay,
mm-hmm.
people have their pet, okay? When it comes down to handicap parking, I see Corvettes in the handicap. And,
yeah, what's up
you
with
know,
that?
My,
me too.
My sister-in-law, who is wheelchair-bound, and I've had to drive her to the store from time to time, I need that
right.
hash mark parking space to let her ramp out. There's no ramps in a Corvette. And I'm here to tell you, if you can get in and out of a Corvette, you're not handicapped because I'm in perfect health, can't
nope.
do it. So
nope.
with all that being said, it's going to lead me to these electric carts. Now, one, how did you people shop in the 70s before these damn things were invented? That's one question. Second question is,
you walked.
They are there for folks that are incapacitated, okay? Not for folks that weigh 4 bills and are too goddamn lazy to walk, all right? Now, Todd and
or
Todd
drunk.
Will back me up. Yeah. At our place of work, we actually had a fleet of these things. We had 6 of these damn things, okay?
That's too many.
And at least once a shift, I would get called up front for some guy who usually was dressing out at 4 bills to bitch. You guys need to get more of these goddamn carts. You ain't got enough of these things. People trying to shop. And I would tell them, especially getting later in my career, I would tell them, I says, you know what? Y'all have the ability to walk into this building and get these carts. But yet when you exit the building, you leave the damn thing out there in the parking lot in the rain, okay? And when you leave it out
yep.
there and you return it to the building, you know what we can't do? We can't charge it. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, these carts have to work a little harder with your big fat ass on them, which drains the damn power in it even longer, okay? So,
exactly.
you know, it normally the capacity on those things is one of your ass cheeks, okay? And so this car has been pulling twice its weight the whole time, which uses more energy off the charge, and then you drive it out there to your busted ass mm-hmm. 86 Buick LeSabre, okay? And you leave the damn thing right there in the elements uncharged. Do you
yep.
want to know why none of them are charged? You want to know why they're all used up? You want to know why you don't have one for you? It's because you or somebody of your ilk left one there for so long.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I don't
yep.
have the payroll to somebody standing there in the damn parking lot with their thumb completely up their ass waiting for somebody to drive these electric cars back. So if you got the ability to walk in and get it, you got the ability to return to where the hell you from.
Well, I would have been one better. I would have been, if you had the ability to walk into the store to get in it and it didn't work, you still had the ability to walk around the store and get your groceries, because you probably need it, because instead of pushing away from the table, you're pulling that bitch closer. Push the table away, dog.
In the meantime, while you're sitting there,
those things should have a sensor, because it's got to the point here, I kid you not, one of the Kroger's, they have effectively locks on the doggone carts so that people can't take the carts home with them. So they should have that. So I always said they should be, it needs to not go past those double, the first set of doors there that they have to go out past the checker. Those carts need not go past there with it or power, or just stay in the general lobby area or foyer, whatever you want to call it. Boom.
Leave the building.
That's where the power runs out, and it should go. Actually, what it should do is it should power down to a bare minimum where they can only have enough to take it to a powered cart parking spot, and it's just because the fact that they can get it out of the building, that's a failure to plan, because they do it. All right, people, we're at 17 after. We're struggling. I know we're going to go into extra innings. I see it coming. We'd kind of sort of like to get us to get fairly close to normal time, but yeah, I see extra innings coming. Just thought I'd mention it.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, Todd, again, I expect you to back me up on this one, being your service in the military. There ain't nothing that burns my ass more. You know what else burns my ass?
Than a 3-foot flame?
A three-foot flamer.
Leave it to Velvet.
Outstanding. But it burns my ass when I see some 300-pound woman floating around on one of those carts, and walking behind her is some one-legged Marine using a crutch with that young man or young woman.
Yeah.
And did their part and lost the body part to keep us free, to keep us secure. And they have to do what they have. And, you know, a lot of these guys with the prosthetics now, I mean, hell, I meet guys that got prosthetics, and I don't even know they got the damn thing until I see them in shorts one day, you know, and I've known them for years. I'm like, damn, I didn't know you were missing a leg. But it still burns me up when I see these slovenly, busted, sloppy, stanky, irresponsible. Spell that one. I mean, nasty, ill repute, don't give a shit people cruising around on these damn things.
Oh,
and yet
we've
got a young servicemen and women that have sacrificed their bodies and don't have the privilege, or not privilege, but don't have the opportunity, better yet, to ride on one of those carts, which... that's what they're designed for. They're not designed for the morbid.
Oh, yeah.
They're designed for the people.
I've had to do that so many times to say, I've seen you walk in the store. Well, my leg, my hip hurt today. I said, it didn't hurt this morning when you came in and got breakfast. It didn't hurt when you came in to get lunch at lunchtime. And now that you're off work and you work right next door, and now you need to sit in it. You've been sitting all day.
Your feelings are going to hurt now. Yeah. I tell you what, I'm getting madder than hell just thinking about it.
I'm trying not to. I've been out of the business enough now to where I don't care. I had a buddy call me, and this is a pet peeve of me. You know I'm out of the business. You know I was one of the best managers in the Carolinas. Okay. But don't call me and ask me for advice. If you've already screwed up, or you haven't screwed up, you're about to screw up, or make a decision, bro. It's
yeah,
your job, ain't mine. I could give two shit less. I don't care.
Not me.
And my buddy goes, you don't care. I went, I don't work in the business anymore. I said, that business
and
almost killed me. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, so I tell you something happens and goes bad and it blows up in your face. Who you going to blame? I said, you ain't going to blame me on any of it. You got to do what you got to do, bro.
Yeah. The only way to learn.
Yeah, don't call me. Don't call. That's what I tell them. I said, I did not get where I was by not making mistakes. You have to make mistakes in order to get to the next spot because you have to fix the mistake. You have to stop making the mistake and whatever, you know, you gotta make everything the right way, close enough to the right way that everybody's happy. And then they stay off your back.
Yeah,
they stay
off
my back because I tell them off.
Now, before we shut down and go around the horn and everything, I want to throw one more thing out there. It's more of a public service message when it comes down to the pet peeve thing. And, gentlemen, y'all are free to elaborate when you say this. But personal space. Okay,
oh,
before
yeah.
2020, before we had a pandemic out there, that would get you, you know, that would turn you into a lizard or whatever this COVID's doing this week, you know, because it's a moving target. Personal space. Why do you always have to be up in my shit? And I know at work, I only work probably 10 to 15 hours in a grocery store. And, you know, I work the part-time to supplement my alcohol and cigar habit and everything. To go along with my business, you know, and
right.
I swear in that 10 hours that I put in, sometimes it's all I can do to keep from going absolutely batshit because people get right up on top of you. And
yes,
you know,
they do.
How many times we joked on the show, I told the story about me and Rob being in the movie theater, you know, and these people sit right beside us when there's 150 empty seats. It's personal space, folks. Stay the hell away from one another because A,
nobody
COVID's
cares.
Out there, and we're almost moving to COVID.
Yeah, but nobody cares.
You can tell if you're standing next to Charles freaking Manson. I mean,
you don't know exactly.
And get the hell off the table.
Ooh, that's it. Maybe we should be doing shirts like My Hero is Charlie Manson, and just start adding your list of serial killers below that. And maybe that'll get you some space.
You don't know how many times, Todd, I've thought about screen printing a picture of Charles Manson on a T-shirt and then across the bottom put Employee of the Month.
I want one that's awesome. Got Jeffrey Dahmer holding a cookbook and says Jeffrey Dahmer stew. It's finger licking ooh.
Did you get this though? I read
like
something.
I like his cookbook with the upper arm.
Todd. Yeah.
He's all right. Let him roll.
No, run, Tim.
All I was going to say is I remember reading once upon a time that Jeffrey Dahmer actually almost got out of jail before he was killed, but it was going to cost him an arm and a leg, so it didn't work out.
Don't.
Well,
man.
I was just going to go with
Listen.
His
go ahead.
I was just thinking that his cookbook was kind of funny because he was talking about cooking the upper arm and it was humorous.
Going along with cookbook stuff.
Let me ask you guys a question. A lot of people say a bunch of different food tastes like chickens, but let me ask you a question. Why don't eggs taste like chickens?
Good point. That's a very good point. it's something to ask. Why don't eggs taste like chicken? They come out of a chicken's asshole.
Well, I got to tell y'all something. It's what time is it?
25.
Stop, it is. Okay, it's 25 after, right? We don't have but very limited planes here at our airport for the Air Force, right? But they're doing right now. They're flying way out to me and cutting back. They're doing the big planes are doing touch and goes. Teams are flying around the coast. They just went down and now they've come back and passed again. So I don't know what's going on out here, but something's about to happen. If you're not paying attention, like my son, he's not paying attention. I said, son, you don't know what's going on in the world. I said, Taiwan is a little kid back in the corner about to cry because the Chinese are about to screw them over and looking at us and knowing that we're not going to do nothing because we're weak right now and we look like shit. You know, you got 100,000 people getting ready to rush the border. I mean, come on, man.
If you ever wonder what the opinion is of the United States, listen to foreign news agencies. And all
oh,
of them
yeah,
have
they laugh at us. They laugh at
and
us, too.
Always, and it bothers me when they use this term, but they call us a country in decline. And I've heard this out of the Australians.
Yeah.
The Australians ain't got
nothing to say because they're going to have a civil war and it's going to be ugly because they're shooting their own people down there.
Oh yeah.
So no, they don't got a clue.
That their opinion of us is that we were in decline, and I call bullshit on that because we are the United States. And call me an arrogant, entitled, what do they call them now? Nationalist people actually believe in the country.
I believe in the country. The problem is
cheering for your own team now apparently is a sin, but nevertheless, I don't like the idea that we are team.
I feel a segueing into another show.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
All right, well, let's,
but again, we are the U.S. We will kick as much ass as damn humanly possible, and just because
But it's going to take not the generals that were testifying. They got to go. It's going to take somebody else with some balls to lead the military and get it back on its face because they are going through the military asking them personal questions of their beliefs and everything. They shouldn't be doing that.
I totally agree. So
go ahead. Let's get out of here. Let's do it.
Maybe perhaps that'll be next week's topic, how wonderful this country is, and people who don't think so can stick it up their collective asses. So with that said, before passing around, just want to remind everybody of our emails and at popculturestars@outlook.com. Please feel free to send us an email. Death threats, you can hold on to those if you want, but we'd be more than obliged to let your opinions are and everything. And just to get a hold of us and say hello, we'd love to hear from you because every day I look at the map and we see that, you know, we have listeners all over the planet. Matter of fact, Australia, Todd, now that you've now that we've mentioned Australia, we've got listeners all over the place. So if you're out here listening, drop us a line, popculturestars@outlook.com. Say hello, say goodbye. So with all that being said, I am going to pass it around the horn, as they say in baseball, and get the parting shots from everybody. So we're going to start the way we did the introduction. So, Brother Velvet, what kind of parting shots do you have for us this evening?
I just want everybody to, let's band together. The whole country would hate it. The leftists would hate us to all stand together side by side, brothers and sisters of all colors, races, creeds, to stand up and say, we've had enough. Let's make America great again, and it has to happen. And I'm all for that. I'm all for taking care of our military and our veterans and our homeless people and our homeless veterans. That something's got to be done about that. So it's gonna take a village to make noise, and we need to start that village, and it needs to start now. So, but also that, take care of yourself and your family, people. Something's coming around the horn, and you need to be ready. So pay attention.
Yeah.
And love yourself and love your neighbors. So that's it for me. Go for it.
Well done. Good to have you back this week, young man.
Roger,
good to have
you. Sir.
I hope to see you again next week.
Yes, sir.
But
yep.
Joe, Tim, talk to me. What do you have?
Sorry. Oh, I don't know much. It's already 10:31, so I'll keep it short. But I did want to say, Bill, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a few weeks. I don't have anything else to say. It's just it's been another fun show. We could do this for another hour and a half, but, of course, we all need to go to bed. At least I sure as hell do. So I'll look forward to another good one next week.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Well done. It was good to have you aboard this evening, Tim. I appreciate the assist. Always welcome out here, and always good to have your input. Good to hear you fired up tonight, too, man. I tell you what, good to hear that gunpowder going off.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm inspired as shit right now.
We need more of that, Tim, every week. What are you talking about? More of Tim.
I'm telling you. I'm ready to wrestle the gator after Tim talking shit tonight, man. Outstanding. I like it.
I'll try to dial it up.
Beautiful.
All right.
Well done.
All right, go.
I'm impressed. So, Todd, what kind of parting shots do you have?
I just wanted to mention, I know we got a ton of things going on in that, and I thought I would mention my favorite author, and that is, I believe he is anonymous, but I thought whoever for the beer cans wrote Lift Tab, Push Back, that's my favorite author.
That's freaking great.
That is beautiful.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Live life like the old school Brett commercials. You know, again, that whole take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of one another, you know. I tell two friends, they tell two friends and all that. Maybe we'll get it right. Maybe.
Yep.
Big hugs all.
Yeah. And it's painless to do something nice. Painless. Well said.
For sure.
Outstanding. Now, you know, it's funny. It's kind of scary how Todd gets inside of my head from time to time, because he's the type of guy I probably don't want inside of my head. But nevertheless, I was going to plug the book series this evening because I have gotten back into the writing thing again and planning on having this next book. Actually, I have a book that's ready to be published now, though I'm holding on to it. The one I'm currently writing on now, I'm hoping to have done by Christmas. And aiming for a spring release, and when I use the term spring, I'm thinking March-ish, if you will, and because I would like to get back into the con game come this May in Myrtle Beach, which will be a whole different show, different topic. But nevertheless, in the event that you're looking for some reading that'll keep you up at night for various reasons, the Hunger series by yours truly is out there on Amazon. You have Rotting Frontier, Revelations, and Ripper. And in the event that you are in the Carolina area, get hold of me, because I'd be more than happy to send a copy and or exchange copies or however. and have them signed and everything. It's always great to talk to people. And, you know, last week we were talking about humbling moments, and something I didn't touch on was the fact that I've actually had people walk up to me. It's one thing when friends and family come up to you, but when total strangers come up to you and say, hey, man, read your book, totally blown away. There's a, you know, for all the lost royalties due to fraud that I went through and all that kind of monkey business, when there's people to come up to me and say that kind of stuff, it kind of makes the monetary thing go away. And it kind of brings you back and saying, hey, you're doing something right, when a total stranger will walk up and go, wow, I read your stuff and I dig it, and I saw you're at this show and I wanted to come see you and say hello. Very flattering, very humbling. So, again, if you need some reading, got Christmas right around the corner. The Hunger Series by Dave Atwell. Amazon. Check it out.
We'll probably get that before everything else.
Yeah, no kidding. And it sure beats the hell out of Katie Couric's new book. So please, if you would.
Oh, my God.
Look at
Katie Couric.
That bitch.
That's
yeah, what, here we go with another show.
If I have to buy that book, it's going right in the burn bin.
Yeah, what a pompous bitch. And all she did was validate everything I ever thought about her, you know.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, speaking of pompous bitches, I bet it's about time to go in there and cue in the old salty British lady.
Nah, she'll
and
be
end
all
right. Show. Hey, I knew
I knew
you were going to light fire.
I thought you were going to go with a velvet carpet.
Well,
you
before you hit that button, I sent y'all Lavelle Crawford's going into the grocery store with his mama.
I saw that. I got to listen to it.
You're going to be like,
gotta,
that's the truth.
Yeah, because
so,
I'm sure it hits.
I said that there. Oh, he's funny. Dude, he's hilarious. All right. Hit the salty British. Honey. Don't make me come over there and slap you all the way over there in Europe, you British bitch, you.
I'm going to ease into Atwell Manor here. Sliding glass door doesn't work. There we go. Actually.
Listen, I know how to fix the sliding glass door.
You have no idea how many times I've waited for Mama to lock you out when you go to come back in and wait for you to walk into that glass door.
That's why, Todd, I carry my house key in my jeans when I'm doing the show. Mama raised a drunk, not an idiot. I know what I'm doing here.
That's funnier. But listen, velvet can get in any door, sliding or not.
Oh, Lord.
Your doors don't slide. They ease thanks to the lubricant.
You know what my favorite door is, right? Come on, Ben, tell them. That's right. That's why I like being the quarterback sometimes, but not all the time. It's my turn to play center.
And next week's show will be about the Bible.
Oh. Velvet will not be here for that.
Yes. Velvet will be stepping out. Outstanding. Hey. You
have to step out. All right. Go ahead.
You guys are the best. I appreciate
it. I love
it.
The show, man.
And I appreciate everybody listening.
You can't stop
okay.
laughing.
Get your shit together that well. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for bearing with us tonight while we got this off our chest. Very therapeutic for me. I'm sure it was for the gentlemen who joined me this evening, getting some of these pet peeves off our chest. And we hope everybody has a wonderful, safe, and kind. Todd, what was last week's quote? I'd rather be anonymously
Crap, I got to look it backwards.
Then famously evil, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd rather be anonymously good than famously evil.
There
Dr.
you go. Thank
evil.
You. That's why you're my anchorman, brother. And I appreciate everybody listening.
Yes.
And we hope everybody has a wonderful week. Stay safe. Stay sane. British lady.
You're here.
Shut it down for us, chick.
Let's bring it. Big hugs.
Good night, guys.
Stay safe, all. Great show, group.
And
what is that for?
Damn, laptop running real slow. Okay, well, there we
playing
go.
Hard to get.
Where is that sound called bridge?
I guess it's all the porn I look at. Okay, all right, here we go. British lady.